This is Coach Eric Johnson, the brand.
And Coach Aaron Thigpen, the source. Guys, today's subject is the awkward athlete. One of the most common conversations that I have are usually go like this. Hey, Aaron, my kid's had a growth spurt. He's grown 6 inches over the summer, and now everything is haywire. They can't move right. They can't jump. You know, things just look crazy. Or I might hear, you know, the kid's grown a couple of shoe sizes. Or, you know, the kid's now struggling to keep up. And when just, you know, a few months ago, they were this little firebrand out there on the field. But all of them are basically talking about a phase that a lot of athletes go through where their body gets out of whack. And it's because of, you know, Mother Nature, they're growing. It could be because now that there's new demands on the body in some of their sports. So there's an awkwardness to what they're doing. And this period usually will stretch anywhere between the ages of as early as 8 years old, all the way to as late as 15, 16. Mm. And it poses quite a problem for the athlete during that time. And what I want to talk about today is how do you navigate that?
Yeah, it's interesting, Aaron, because I've seen this happen over the years. I remember a story back when I was a kid, and we had this guy that wasn't a really good athlete. And all of a sudden, a year later, this guy, I don't know what happened. He was the fastest guy. He became very coordinated, and you could see his confidence grow. And this guy became a fast twitch guy, and he was so slow the prior year. And like you said, Mother Nature caught up to him. And this guy became like awesome quarterback, great pitcher. It clicked. And I think the one thing I remember about this guy, his name was Rob Foss. And the one thing I remember is that he stuck with it. He didn't quit football, didn't quit baseball, didn't quit basketball. You could see him just kind of figure it out he didn't quit. He kept playing all these sports. And I think that's one message I like to tell all the players and parents is if you're an awkward athlete, you're going to go through that phase a little bit, but if you keep at it, good stuff will happen to you eventually. You just got, and like you said, the time clock is a little bit different for everybody, Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my favorite story to tell is one about a young man, and I won't mention his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but this was a few years back, but I get these kids a lot. It's probably one of the number one reasons why athletes come to me, especially during those ages. But this was a local kid, and his parents brought him in. He's probably sixth or seventh grade or something like that. Wanted to play baseball, but you talk about on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being awkward. He was at 10. But great kid, really was consistent with his training, did everything you asked him to do. The parents were behind him. And you fast forward 4 years later or 5 years later, he was a high school senior. This kid's throwing, he's 6 feet, 200 pounds. He's throwing 90 miles an hour. I watched this kid hit the game-winning RBI off the center field wall at the Oakland A's stadium.
No, the Coliseum.
Yeah, at the Coliseum. And this kid was the starting pitcher. He pitched a complete game. And so in just in a matter of years, this kid transformed himself. And, you know, it's a testament to his will and his ability to stay focused and all the things that you need. And I always tell athletes, I said, the body you have at 8 years old isn't going to be the same body you have at 12. Body you have at 12 isn't going to be the same body you have at 14, and so forth and so on. You're not going to hit that physical peak until well into your late 20s, or maybe even mid 30s for some athletes. So I'm being a late bloomer myself. I'm a big advocate for late bloomers. and you know, it's about doing the right things to buy yourself time, to create those opportunities. And I think if athletes have that sort of, and parents have that sort of look at it, I think they're gonna find themselves navigating it a lot better. And I have some key things that I think, you know, parents and athletes should focus on. And we'll talk about those, but that's just one of those stories that it always makes me smile when I look back at that and remember what this kid looked like and what he grew into. Because part of it is just mother nature. Part of it is the training and the lack of movement skills that an athlete doesn't necessarily have. And there are a lot of different factors that go into that.
Right. We currently, Aaron, you and I currently have an athlete that plays in our club at EJ Sports that you're doing this to right now as you're training them.
Yeah.
And I think you know who it is, but I've seen this player grow from the seventh and eighth grade year. And now he's a sophomore going to be a junior. And I've seen he was a very smallish kid. He was very tiny, wasn't put together very good, but he just, you know, like you say, he worked really hard, but you see the confidence grow. I guess the best thing about it, Aaron, for us is to see that confidence, that athlete's confidence
grow.
And he's blossoming into a heck of a college prospect as a baseball player now. And it's fun to watch because he's staying to it and he's working really hard. And I tell all those young guys that you know, are undersized a little bit or awkward and they're tall and they're not moving good, don't worry about that. If you just stay with it, you're going to be in a good place. So I know you got some key points you want to mention for the parents and the players. Well, I'll let you start. I mean,
you hit on one of them, and it's confidence. And, you know, that's one thing I like the parents to understand is, don't be too hard on your athlete. Part of them being comfortable with their bodies and their abilities comes from their confidence. Mm-hmm. And if you shake that by always being hard on them or always being critical, then the athlete never learns to embrace who he is at that point. And when you can embrace who you are at that point, you're going to be more confident, you're going to move better, and things are going to start to come easier. But if they're always worried about that outside voice barking at them, being too critical, it basically freezes an athlete up. And that's what you don't want. So I urge parents to be supportive and understand that this is just a phase. Now, it's a phase that they may need to get some help with, but right. It's a phase that they can navigate.
I like that. I like that. Confidence. Love that.
Go ahead.
No, I just love that confidence. I mean, I see it with the guys all the time, Aaron, and I think it's so important that as coaches, as parents, and you know, when the athlete's confidence is good and it doesn't get shaken, then they can move into places that they never thought they could.
Right.
As a athlete. And I think it's so important, the confidence thing. And, you know, if they want to hear negative stuff all the time, you know, you keep on feeding that information like that, we're not going to get our guys where they need to be.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the truth. They need to hear this constructive, positive feedback for where they're growing and developing.
Right. Second point would be encourage your athletes to play. Play is when that exploration can happen, where they can discover what their body can and cannot do, where they can use their imagination and maybe start to develop different movement patterns that are going to be advantageous to them with where their body is at that point. But, you know, they need that opportunity to learn in a non-competitive, non-judgmental environment where they can kind of just free to be themselves and who they are at that point athletically and grow from there. And I think I'm a big proponent of play. I think even as an older athlete, some of the things that my coaches would do with us track athletes, we would just do some things that were almost game-like, you know, and you've got 20-year-olds out there doing a form of tag, you know, world-class athletes doing a form of tag, but within that game of tag, it taught us some acceleration skills. It gave us some different movement patterns from changing direction. And it helped us continue to grow as athletes, even at what might be considered later stages in, or, you know, close to your full development as an athlete.
Now, did you play like tag with the, you know, the flag football things around your waist? You got to pull it, or do you just like, you got to tag the guy?
Just got to tag the guy. Yeah, because it might just be something impromptu at the end of a workout that we did to kind of help to loosen us up, shake us up. But in any form of play, even, you know, when you look at little kids, there's degrees of athleticism.
Right.
I mean, so you can watch a kid out there playing hopscotch. Now, I'll be remiss to find a kid where plays hopscotch anymore. But there's degrees of athleticism in something as simple as hopscotch. You've got jumping and landing. You've got deceleration. You've got balance and coordination. You've got body awareness and control. So there's a lot that goes on in those, you know, again, either strictly play types of forms of play or some kind of sport variation.
Do you have any other forms of play? You know, tag is great, hopscotch. I mean, what, you know, I think about these games we were playing, you know, three flies up.
Right. Because
of the ball thing.
Yeah.
Just different types of games, because it seems to me these in this day and age, kids like the game factor that's out. You know, if it's a game, it's cool. Yeah. You see? Yeah. If you're just training a guy, regimen, like I'm on a baseball field, we're going to do these drills and stuff, you know, that can get mundane to a certain aspect. But to say all of a sudden, okay, guys, we're getting out of this drill, we're going to go play tag for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I just kind of had a thought, and I'm like, you know, we as kids, we didn't have a lot of the things that kids do now, so that they're a lot more structured and you've got computer games and things like that. We were just kind of went out and played.
Right.
And that was natural for us. And I just kind of had a flash thought that, you know, you're right. Actually, there's a push for the gamification of training now. A lot of it has to do with use of computers and things like that to get feedback. But maybe that's just an innate trait that we as humans have, and it's strong when we're kids,
right?
And finding a way to tap into that is good. Whereas I think there was a period of time where, yeah, our generation played, but a lot of these kids coming up didn't play.
Right.
And it may not be that they didn't want to, they just didn't have the appropriate outlets. And so, you know, you can say the gamification might be a good thing or might be a bad thing. But there is, I think, something innate in us, just as humans, that likes play.
Yeah.
And I think needs to be fed. And if you're going to be an athlete, I think it's very important that that's integrated into the whole, you know, ecosystem of how you're going to develop as an athlete and move.
Yeah. A great, great point there, Aaron.
Another one. Play multiple sports or athletic activities. Have a mix, some recreational, some competitive. And again, this is to differentiate from play in the sense that they're in a more structured environment. So you might be a baseball player, but you play on a rec basketball team,
right?
Or a rec tennis team. So they this other sport introduces different movement skills that are complementary to your primary sport, but they challenge the body in a different way. The brain thinks in movement, in different movement patterns. It's not competitive, so there's no not as much emotional energy, maybe, you know, tied to it, but it helps to develop. And usually I'll say at least have a 1-to-1 ratio. If you got one competitive, highly competitive sport, have one recreational sport. Generally, 2-to-1 is even better, but I know with today's time constraints, that could be hard. But again, a recreational sport doesn't necessarily also have to be in a structured format as a league. Maybe just go out and play that sport on a regular basis. So maybe you golf, you know, and that's a recreational outlet. Or maybe, again, you play tennis, that's a recreational outlet. Or you pick up basketball.
Right.
But you want to have that balance.
Yeah. And
I think that helps with an athlete's development.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, the cross training, you know, if you talk about cross training, and it's a term that's not really mentioned that much, is cross training, you know, Bo Jackson.
who, you know, Bo was playing basketball and was playing baseball and football. And then you had Brian Jordan was playing football and baseball. Also Deion Sanders, baseball and football. We don't see those crossover athletes anymore, you know, and those guys were exceptional athletes, first of all.
Right.
And I think it helps when you play these crossover sports, like you say, multiple sports, man, it increases, I think, your ability to have instincts. I believe that not only is it good for that awkward athlete, but your instincts and your ability to kind of see things differently, it enhances your ability. So when you get into the sport that you actually play, you've encountered something different instinctually that maybe you didn't realize before as you were just playing that one sport. And so that awkward athlete, when you're playing those sports, I think that only enhances your ability to develop into a coordinated athlete.
Right. No, yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. My final point would be find a professional who can provide some structured programming. For some kids, they're going to need to be taken through these movement patterns and develop these movement skills, just like they would learning their ABCs or their mathematics. And so you want to have someone who gets them on the right path of having those movement patterns done properly, because the greatest thing about the body is the worst thing about the body. The body learns to adapt, but it can also learn to adapt improperly.
Mm.
And so you want to introduce or program the body with the right information from the onset, because it'll figure out a way to do something. It's going to figure out a way to swing that bat. It's going to figure out a way to run. You know, it's going to self-organize, but it may not be in the movement patterns that are optimal for performance and athletics that don't put the athlete at risk for injury.
Right.
So getting to someone who can help you with those motor patterns, I think, is important. And that can be at any age. You know, I've had professional football players where we've had to basically reprogram their movement patterns so that they can, you know, do other athletic movements.
Right.
So it's not age dependent. You know, we learn what we learn through our experiences and through our environment. And sometimes that's going to be conducive to a more athletic body. Sometimes it's going to be conducive to a less athletic body. And it's always going to try and figure its way out. But again, it may do it the wrong way. And that's right. What you want to correct, especially when you get to athletes who are older. They figured out ways, but they're not necessarily the best way for the athlete.
I like that, Aaron. I like that a lot, because I see some of these awkward athletes, when you change their movement pattern, all of a sudden they start to figure out the body balance of their body and they start to function correctly.
For those parents who have young kids and you're just starting out, lastly, I would suggest put them in sports like gymnastics, dance, martial arts. And I'm not talking highly competitive outlets, just recreational. Have them go, you know, and take some of those classes and go through, because I think those sports or those disciplines there really help to build a good functional movement foundation for athletes. Because the athletes that I have that tend to learn the fastest, retain movements, and progress at incredible rates are athletes who usually have those backgrounds.
Right. All right, Aaron, I think that wraps it up today. This is Coach EJ, the brand.
And Coach Aaron Thigpen, the source. See you.